Hey friends, welcome to the Thrive Like a Parent podcast. You know those parents who look like they've got it all together? Yep, that's not me. I'm Dr. Brooke Weinstein, mom, widow, and neuroscience expert on all things sensory and emotional regulation. Yep, that's right. I'm here to get down and dirty on the truth behind parenting, education, burnout, neuroscience, widowhood, and the shit show we call life. So come join me for conversations with thought leaders, doctors, and women just like you who aren't afraid to speak the truth and help you find that silver lining between the to-do lists, shit shows, and chaos of parenthood. If you are craving the answers to finally find that sweet spot between chaos and calm, pull up a seat and listen in as I take you from burnt out and surviving to finally thriving. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Thrive Like a Parent podcast. Today, I have back with me a very awesome special guest, Carter, who, as you know, is my partner. And today, we are going to talk about communication. And it's a topic that we really want to talk about, but it's also a topic that you all have been very interested in because it's really hard to have healthy communication within a partnership. And it's something that we have worked on, as well as something that we make an active effort to have strong communication skills within our partnership. And we have both come from partnerships that we didn't feel that that was there, as well as we just recently did a reel, which was a real conversation. And so many had so much to say, especially saying that they wish that they could have that type of communication with their partner, that we felt it would be really supportive to you to discuss how we've gotten to where we've gotten, what has worked, tips and tricks and tools, and kind of our journey along the way of how our communication has gotten to where it has gotten.
Right. I statements, we're kind of going to go down that road with this because it is important. And it's one thing I've learned in this relationship mm-hmm. is, especially if you're early on in a relationship, you don't really know how the communication's gone for the person you're with. And so for me to not think anything of it and be like, you really pissed me off the other day when this happened, or you did this and this was and it's like, I'm just talking, mm-hmm. but that may hit you like a brick.
Yeah.
I mean, from previous relationships or just however it's perceived, something that I may not necessarily be bashing or really digging into you with, if I started off as you,
it's accusatory
and it's like, you're fucking up, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So by using the I statements, it's okay to say, I feel that the other day you, whatever it may be, I feel it. And I am saying you, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not going, hey, you definitely did this wrong. I feel you could have handled it in a different
way. I feel sad or I feel angry.
Sure. You know? I feel an actual emotion based on something that you did.
Yep.
And it's kind of pointing out like, hey, take a second look at how the situation unfolded, but it's also telling, you know, the other person how you feel about all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being able to, I really think that key is the I statements, but it's also the active listening of hearing those I statements and then not taking it on that you yourself are a failure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Okay.
I don't feel that way. But
what do you mean?
Some people do feel that way. I don't personally take it on in conversations as I suck, you know, I'm doing it wrong. However, you know, that may be a, what'd you call it? Heteronormative relationship difference right there. Men for the most part, may not feel that. It may be easier for us to dismiss, whereas women, in a you statement, if you will, may feel that. They may feel like they are doing everything wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I personally don't take it that way.
I think you're very, very, very good at it. I think you're very good at hearing what someone has to say and having that active listening and not taking it on, not taking on what someone else says. I've had other male clients who do take it on because they do feel like they're trying so hard or they have so much pressure on their shoulders or this or that, that, and they don't verbalize it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to verbalize it or admit that they feel that sense of failure or feel that sense of I'm messing up.
And it may be like a difference in a level of confidence within oneself too.
Sure.
And that's a topic for another day. That's a whole different thing. There's a lot of work that goes into building up yourself to get to that point. It's not the same for everyone.
And it's for anyone who struggles with that, it's leaning into that self-worth and trust of self and owning. And it's knowing you're enough without needing the validation of someone else, right? Because if you need that external validation, then you will feel the fallout from what they say. You will take it on.
Yeah. I think another area that communication can look very different is when...
What are you going to say?
So I was just going to say, I think another area where communication can look very different, can vary at times, is when one person feels regulated and the other does not, or one person's under a lot of stress and the other is calm.
So newsflash, Carter is a very regulated human. He's like, yep.
Lots and lots of years of marijuana.
Oh, you can't say that.
It's a podcast.
Oh, geez. Carter is a very regulated human. And I have said it before that I am a highly sensitive human and have a highly sensitive nervous system. I've worked really, really hard to support my nervous system. I've made so much headway. I'm extremely proud of where I'm at. I am a gas pedal. I've had to learn how to step on the brake, but I would say that I get dysregulated easily I just have a highly sensitive nervous system.
I don't know. I think you have done a lot of work and you're not, the Brooke that's sitting here with me now is not the same woman that was, when we first started dating. And that's great. I would also say that while you think I'm a highly regulated individual, there are times that like I'm not.
We're just tooting each other's horn here. It's interesting to hear each other's perspective of each other. Like, I'm a highly sensitive person. And you're like, actually, I don't think you are. And you're like, actually, I get dysregulated.
Yeah, I think there's...
It's interesting.
No matter how regulated you are, you're going to have moments where you just can't take any more shit, or you get so frustrated or so stressed out that you don't want to be touched. You don't want to be spoken to. You just want to be left alone, or you're stuck in a situation where you can't be alone. So you have to try and make the best of it. That's kind of where the work comes in on that side of things, is ideally you've had communication ahead of time. So like, you know what I'm going to need or what I absolutely do not want if I'm in one of those moods or times, whatever you want to call it, and vice versa, how to support one another when, somebody's off, if you will.
Yeah. I think requesting our needs is important. And I want to talk about that, but I also think that I actually think you should speak to this, because you do such a great job at this with me, of even recognizing like even recognizing when one of us is off or one of us is dysregulated. Basically, you do a great job of noticing that in me.
Call it a gift. I don't know. Like
no, just in terms of like what that looks like.
So what it can
look like for couples to check in with one another.
Yeah. I guess what it looks like here is I've spent enough time with you that I can spot it pretty early on.
Yes.
And so instead of letting it go, I usually will prompt a conversation. Yeah. And it's not going back to like an accusatory thing of like, hey, you're this or you're that. How are you feeling? Is something going on? Are you doing okay today? You know, is something happened at school? Is something happened with work? It starts off with smaller questions to kind of break that ice, chip away at it a little bit, and then hopefully you'll feed into it and open up. I mean, here you're taking a defensive stance, crossing your legs and turning your body the other way. This is not a great sign of accepting a conversation.
Okay. So I think that this is a really, really important point because I think that if someone says to you, hey, are you okay? Hey, how are you feeling? Hey, this, hey, that. I think that the other human has two options. They can A, get defensive and be like, nothing, I'm fine, leave me alone. Or they can get curious. And every time that you...
Curious about themselves?
Yes. Every time that you prompt that or every time that you say that, I cue into myself. I have a choice whether to be like, I'm fine, nothing, like leave me alone. Like, I'm fine, you know? Like, why do you keep asking me this? Or I can say, okay, I don't know. What is going on with me? How do I feel? Is there something he's noticing that I'm not noticing? And I believe that we, again, can push away from our partners in those moments, or we can lean into our partners in those moments and be like, huh, I appreciate that. It's like a cue for me of like, hey, how are we doing right now? And then I'll check in and be like, how am I doing? But the opposite partner has to be open to receiving that.
And it may be a mix of both. It may be that sometimes you lean into it because you're like, I'm really struggling with something and I want that support and I know they can handle it and support me. Other times it may be you don't lean into it because you either don't know what's going on within yourself or you're not ready yet to really open up and get into it, depending on what you may be dealing with, feeling, caring, whatever you want to call it.
Sure. And then maybe the third option is defensiveness of like, nothing, I'm fine, leave me alone.
Yeah, I mean, that's always bullshit.
But many couples do it.
Sure, but it's always bullshit. That's why you gotta talk. That's why we're sitting here talking about communication. Quit bullshitting each other.
Quit bullshitting each other. It's true.
It is. It is bullshit. Let's count on that 4 now.
Saying bullshit?
5. But yeah, the defense mechanisms in terms of that, but that takes work too, to not be defensive. And especially if your relationship has been struggling or communication is a real tough point in your relationship, to not just jump to the defensive could be from a past relationship as well, always feeling attacked, you're always feeling that you have to defend yourself. To not just jump to that as your first response takes work.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work together. It takes work on yourself, but more importantly, it is together. And that's something that over time, through many hard conversations, you know, I said at the start of this, like, we haven't always had the best communication, and it's because of the work we've put into it.
Yeah.
And that's intentional, the reality. Work. Yeah, yeah. It's not like, well, we're just hoping for the best here. Each conversation gets a little better. It's taking time, you know, practicing that pause in some of these situations, active listening, as you said. You know, at times I even like to provide a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's well received, sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. But that also helps the person you're communicating with understand where you might be coming from. You know, it's all work. Like it's none work. Of this comes easy, and you have to be committed to making that work or making that change, but you both have to be committed in order for it to work.
And taking the time, like that reel that you saw us having that communication on my bed where the kids were coming in and out, the kids will literally ask us, they're like, Charlie will ask you, he'll be like, do you need to have a conversation with mommy tonight? You know, it is work and it is effort. And that is why even in that reel that we did that you see, that's a real conversation. We're having a real long conversation where the kids come in and out. It's calm, it's cool, it's collected. And we have modeled that to the children of it is okay to sit and have conversations together. It is okay to talk things out.
Yeah, it's also okay. You know, you're going to have interruptions in life just in general. So if you have interruptions in your conversation, one thing I'll add to that is we don't bark at them to get out. Mm-mm. You know, no matter, there have been some conversations that have been things that they cannot interrupt, but they still come in.
Sure.
Can I do this? Can I get this? We're in a very important conversation right now. Can you give us X amount of more minutes or we will deal with that when the conversation is over. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like an open door over here.
Yeah.
You know, they can come and go, ask if they can come in, have a question, whatnot. So
but we make communication a priority. We don't table it or sure. use the excuse that there's just not enough time in the day or I'm too exhausted by the end of the day with everything else going on that I don't want to have the conversation with my partner. We make communication a priority.
And in those moments, we don't drop everything if the kids come in the room and need something. You know, they're also at an age where they're very self-sufficient when they choose to be. So it's like you need this. We're still in this conversation. Go take care of it.
Yeah. And we've taught them that sometimes we need to have conversations. Yeah.
So I guess my point in saying that is it's also part of putting your relationship first.
Yes.
In terms of working through or discussing whatever it may be that we have to mm-hmm. hopefully reach a resolution on, you know, and we're not getting sidetracked by somebody wanting an extra piece of pizza or needing a glass of water.
Yeah. And I think it's really important. I know I sidetracked it talking about even how to, you know, go about checking in with a partner if one of us is dysregulated or overstimulated or not doing well or seeming like they need support or something's going on. But I think then the next step that we sidetracked on is how to request our needs. And that has been, I personally think that's still a work in progress for both of us.
There's times I don't know, sometime last week when I was just exhausted, absolutely just beat ass tired. Like that's all it was. You're like, what do you need? You're reciprocating to me what I ask and offer to you. Just tell me what you need and I'll do what I can to help you. I didn't really need anything.
Except for rest.
Yeah, something that you couldn't give me, right? So sometimes it's like that. Sometimes you are asking or I'm asking and it's like we may not know because it may be that we don't know, but it also may not be anything you can help with. Mm-hmm. It's great to offer it, but sometimes it doesn't always go the way that the person offering it thinks it might be because sure. there's nothing you can do to fix what's at hand.
Yeah. And that feels there can be discomfort with that partner of like, I'm supporting you. I want to support you, but there's nothing I can do. And that might feel uncomfortable for the partner. On the other end of it, I say it's still a work in progress because a few weeks ago, a month or two ago when we were at sushi and you were like, what do you need? And I sat there and I, after like days of I was really moving through something and you wanted to support me. You kept checking in and I didn't know, like I didn't know what I needed. And I finally, while we were sitting there, was like, I think I know what I need. And while we were sitting there, I don't know why I'm tearing up, but while we were sitting there, I teared up and I told you what I felt like I needed. And I teared up because I've never had a partner who gave me the space to be able to request my needs and a partner be okay with them. Like, even if it's something selfish that I need, which I recognized, you know what? I think when I'm really not doing well or when I'm really struggling, I need time for myself. I need you to literally push me out the door. I need you to be like, go take 3 hours. Like, I've got the kids, like I've got this. And I, like I said in the beginning of our conversation, it's been different for me when I was asking someone and I was monetarily utilizing them and giving them something in return for helping me out. It feels so different for me to ask something of you and lean on you just because you love me and just because you want to support me. And that's something that is extremely new and different for me, even though we've been in a relationship for over 2 years.
I think too, there's, you know, I recall that conversation. It's really interesting because there's always tears at sushi.
There's always, it's our favorite restaurant.
There's always tears.
Maybe because we just have really good conversations because they're long meals.
That one guy that always serves too is going to be like,
it's the couple who cries.
What did he do this time?
No. I'm just a crier.
You said something about being selfish and kind of a topic for another podcast, if you will. But I think too, it does play into communication because when you request your needs from whoever you're in a relationship with, sounding selfish can be a big fear. For some people, I don't personally think it's selfish that you're like, hey, I need 3 hours of space. I just need a 3-hour break or something like that. And by being able to request those needs and communicate that, that's how you get it.
Yep.
I think I'm recalling that conversation, I may have said, I can't read your mind. Yes. I don't know what it is you need if you don't tell me. I mean, how do you guess somebody needs a Saturday or somebody needs X amount of time or they need this for themselves if they're not told or they don't ask for it? So don't feel like you're being selfish is where I'm going with this. Like, it's if that's what you need in your relationship or if that's what you need to better the connection you have, then
or feel better
or for yourself,
right?
Ask for it,
because if you're living or functioning from an empty cup and you're not asking for it, you will continue to function from an empty cup. And that's what most couples don't understand, is gifting yourself that time allows you to then come back so much healthier and stronger because you have supported your brain and body in the way that it needs.
Yeah, devil's advocate, or the time apart, you realize that this may not be what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a trial and error of...
depending on how long of a break you take, I guess. But
sure. Or whatever that request is of what you need, right? Like, it is absolutely a trial and error. So many times clients say like, well, I don't know what I need. I don't know what I need. And I've said to you, like, I didn't know what I needed. And it's still a trial and error for me, or it's still hard for me every now and then to figure out what I need. I have all the tools. I've done a lot of trial and error. I know what supports me. I know what feels good for me. But there are some times where I don't know what I need. And so in those instances, you just go try something. You just try it on and see if it's supportive to you and see if it felt good. And if it does feel good, do it again when you need it. And if it didn't feel good, try something else the next time.
Along the lines of requesting your needs and then also kind of tying back to the work that we've talked about throughout this conversation, you know, you're putting building blocks in place to eventually build safety and feel security within a relationship to get to the point where you can request your needs, or to get to the point where you can voice an unpopular opinion, or tell someone, tell your partner how you feel without feeling that you're going to catch backlash, or you're going to be attacked, or you're immediately going to be shut down. But I've got to reiterate, like, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen with one conversation. Like, it takes work, and it may take weeks, months, years. I mean, depending on whatever your situation may be, it may take an extremely long amount of time of the work to get to that point. But it is possible. It's possible for everyone. That's one of the things that, you know, I love telling people is, like, you can have it too.
Yes.
You have to commit, both of you, to the work it will take to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It is attainable.
It is possible. I felt and knew deep down it was obtainable. And I think that's the reason why I did take those pauses, and why it did take me longer, is because I was navigating this from a very brand new lens, because I didn't want to repeat things that had taken place in the past. There was just too much at stake of wanting to do this differently and wanting to do this in a way that felt right and good. And, you know, we both work with clients, and I will jump on that bandwagon of what you're saying. Like, I have clients who work with me for an entire year. I have couples who work with me together for an entire year. And one of the things we move through is releasing the immediacy of wanting that dynamic to shift, and releasing the immediacy of wanting that change now, and accepting that this is a process, and it's ever, ever evolving, and it's a journey. And the safety and building of that safety requires lots of communication and lots of vulnerability and lots of active listening and staying calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calm is key.
Calm is key, baby. I like that.
You know, I came from relationships that there was yelling at times, a few of them, but it's something I've really had to, I'm talking about putting in the work. It's something I've really had to work at to not continue to just, like I said at the start of this, hit a level 10, which you say I've not been at. But for me, that would be what I would consider to be, you know, my highest level of, I don't know, flying off the handle or whatever it would be in communication. And when I talk, like, I mean, yelling to the point that neighbors could hear, like, those decibels,
wow,
angry sort of things. Like, that's something that I've not wanted to have in any future relationships by the time I had met you. Mm-hmm. You know, I told myself if that was the communication that I was going to have with someone, mm-hmm, or they brought that to the table,
that's a no-go.
Peace out. I'm walking out the door and not looking back.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just, I say that because if you find yourself reacting that way, or you're in a relationship where someone reacts that way, there's still hope. There's still the possibility that you or that other person can change. But again, you got to do the work. You got to get to the point where you put the time and effort into it to get under control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've said it all.
We've said it all for today.
For today. You want to end it or you want me to end it?
I don't recall the ending, but...
We did this last time.
Welcome, excuse me. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Stay thirsty.
Yeah, the Dos Equis guy.
Jeez.
You closed it out. I forgot.
So until next time.
See ya. I don't recall what the close is.
You do know it. Okay, so.
I do not. If I did, I'd say it. So we can be done. I can go eat a sandwich.
So until next time, XOXO, Dr. V.